Over the last decade, wealthy foreign investors and biofuels producers have gobbled up huge tracts of land equal to the size of Kenya. These land deals are often financed by the World Bank while putting poor countries at a higher risk of hunger as land rights of impacted communities are ignored. This concern is illustrated in the West African nation of Liberia, where more than a third of the land has been sold over the last 5 years. In the Southeast Asian nation of Cambodia, activists say half of all land is now in the hands of private investment companies. Massive land sales have fueled local conflicts, with over 1 million people being displaced from their homes due to land transfers. Oxfam International is now calling for a 6-month moratorium on World Bank loans related to land deals. The group wants to give impacted countries time to improve their legal framework governing land rights for the poor. Over the last 4 years, the World Bank has received 21 formal complaints on land deals from community and nonprofit groups. For example, a loan to expand a coal mine in India displaced 1,300 families and depleted the water supply for thousands more local residents. Oxfam and other advocacy groups are calling for the World Bank to set higher standards for their involvement in land development deals, including ensuring that some of the benefits resulting from land development be allocated to the poor communities impacted, granting women the right to own land, and to make certain that the World Bank disclose critical details of its investments in future large-scale land deals. For the second time in 2012, Wisconsin is the epicenter of American politics. The state's hotly contested U.S. Senate race pits progressive Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin against former governor and U.S. Health Secretary under George W. Bush, Tommy Thompson, to fill the seat left vacant by outgoing Democratic Senator Herbert Cole. In recent weeks, Baldwin has surged in the polls with a broad coalition of blue-collar workers, women, and gay and lesbian voters. Now, former Bush political advisor Karl Rove, through his Crossroads GPS super PAC, has purchased $3 million worth of attack ads against Baldwin, who, if elected, would be the first open lesbian elected to the U.S. Senate. One political ad from the Rove Group blasts Baldwin for supporting the budget proposal of the Progressive Caucus, which would raise $5 trillion in new revenue, mostly from letting the Bush-era tax cuts expire and imposing a surtax on millionaires and billionaires. Another attack ad from the Thompson campaign criticizes Tammy Baldwin for voting against a 2006 resolution honoring victims of the 9/11 attacks. Baldwin had opposed the bill because the resolution also supported the Patriot Act, controversial for its violation of basic civil liberties. Baldwin responded with her own ad, charging that Thompson personally profited from a contract his company, Logistics Health, was awarded for providing health services to 9/11 first responders. According to the Associated Press, Logistics Health was cited for excessive delays in delivering health care to those injured during the 9/11 rescue effort. Baldwin's spokesman, John Krause, called Thompson's 9/11 attack ad a sign of desperation. Barack Obama, in 2008, rode a wave of young millennial voters into the White House. Running for re-election 4 years later, the Obama campaign is now working to reignite that spark to bring the youth vote back to life. But today it's a tougher sell for Democrats to motivate a generation that has been hard hit by the recession and is burdened by growing college debt. In 2008, Obama maintained a 34 percentage point lead among young voters over rival John McCain. Now, that lead among millennial voters has shrunk to 16%, according to a survey by the Public Religion Research Institute. Republican Mitt Romney now leads Obama by 11 percentage points among white millennials, especially those concerned about their job prospects. But while Obama continues to hold a wide lead among young Black and Latinos, they are less likely to be registered voters. In contrast to 4 years ago, The Nation magazine observed that young voters are less likely to see government spending as a solution to fix an ailing economy, and more open to Republican appeals to cut taxes. Overall, the number of millennial voters has surged to 64 million people, nearly one-third of the electorate. A big concern for Democratic Party strategists is that young voters battered by the weak economy will drop out of politics due to their frustration with the lack of meaningful change in America's dysfunctional politics. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Liz Becker.